Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, gaps will fill for safe drinking water in First Nation communities, but more to be done. Now, when you look at that, here we are in the 21st century. We're talking about a first world country, Australia, and it's sad that our Aboriginal communities don't have safe drinking water. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Eric Van Weydeveld, author of WSAA Report. On the line, Eric, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. As I made mention there, it's very sad that we've got a first world country here we have our Aboriginal communities do not have safe drinking water. A long time waiting, you could say.
Oh, yeah. And to be honest, it's not acceptable at all. I mean, it's a big shame and needs to be addressed quickly.
Exactly. But a lot of work to be done here. So what sort of services are we talking regarding safe drinking water?
So when we talk about drinking water, it's obviously not just, when people get water in the tap, it needs to be safe and, they need to trust the system and drink and having good water quality. Mm. That's basis of any community, really. And here we're talking about the whole system, from the when we extract the water, how we transport the water, how we disinfect and treat the water, and how we deliver that to customers, and how we plan for the future, including climate change. All those things are part of this. And so if you live in big cities, it's fine. Usually it's really good service because there's a lot of, framework and legislation things. But once you move outside, and it's not just, obviously First Nations is very critical, but there's also some towns that are located in regional or remote, similar situation. Like it's because it's, economy of scale is not there. Yeah. There's probably some gaps in the legislation. The land tenure of where the communities are is different. So people say, the system say, well, that's outside, so it's a bit too hard. But I just also wanted to highlight to you, a lot of people in those utilities, water utilities or councils, are really trying very hard to close the gaps and do what they can with what they have. It's a systemic issue across government.
Well, the government has dropped the ball here in this department, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, more can be done, and if you live in those communities, Aboriginal communities, and there's a leak in your footpath, it's extremely hard to know who is in charge of this, because there's different departments, different stakeholders involved in different stages, and I worked in those communities in the past in Northern Territory. I spent 11 years there doing a lot of work in those communities, and it's extremely hard to find your way to fix a problem.
Well, I know that First Nation people in communities, different communities, they boil their water before they drink it, and it's sad that you have to do that in the 21st century.
Exactly. I mean, that's quite, it happens quite a bit in Queensland because it's a different structure than the other. In Northern Territory, in Western Australia and South Australia, you have one state utility that looks after everything, and in Queensland is council, so it's a different approach.
And what are some of the works that need to be done in this area? Are we talking about containers holding water, rainwater, or what are we doing to give safe water to our First Nation people in their communities?
I think it's a range of a lot of things, It's like planning for the future, fixing assets now that are quite old, investing in new technologies, the training component. I think what is missing, and you see in the report there, what we're pushing very hard is for inclusion and for First Nations to be part of the solution, to be, self-determination is very important. They need to have the buy-in. They need to drive things. Mm. They need to be part of the concept. It cannot be just on the fringe of it.
Sure.
But I don't know if yesterday the federal government announced a big $150 million for water supplies, for drinking water for First Nations communities, and for like a part of a big package of $445 million. Mm. So that's a very good first step from the federal government. I think it's
very, very good step. Very good step, and but long time waiting. The fact that they're working towards it, which is great. And so you did the research on this, is that right, Eric?
I wrote the report on behalf of WASA.
Yeah.
The Water Service,
Water Service Association of Australia.
And Adam Lovell is the executive director, and he's working closely with me, and there's a lot of work behind the scene where you're still you know, pushing a lot of different states, government, and the federal government on doing more. But we really welcome the announcement yesterday. I think it's a good first step.
Well, I suppose the mayors of the different Aboriginal communities would have been complaining about this situation. I mean, like, it's good that it's been adhered to at this point in time, but like I said, long time between drinks, pardon the pun.
Yeah, but like I said to you, you know, the mayor, the people on the ground, operators, big bodies, everyone's trying their best to push and trying to change things. But, you know, it's difficult when it's a public asset or when you deal with government. So it's heavy machinery you need to shift. So, yeah.
Well, I suppose this space also creates a platform for employment in Aboriginal communities. So First Nation people could be working in the water industry as such, yes.
Exactly. This is what we're trying to promote and to make this happen, because this is critical, you know, to our First Nation skill, you know, professionals, and be part of the industry and really change. And the way they're going to help us is to change the approach and to be very mindful about the cultural requirements, you know, how you approach people in the communities. You know, water, you know, sometimes the water is extracted at some point there, but it's very important to be aware about the culture in the community and, well, that's probably not the right spot, and you go somewhere else. But we need to have very strong relationships with First Nations.
Exactly. Well, thank you for your yarn. We'll be watching this very closely. We welcome the $150 million to ensure safe drinking water for First Nation communities, but a lot more work to be done. But thank you for your conversation. All the best, Eric, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Little yarn there, that's Eric Van Wey Duval, author of the Water Services Association of Australia, who did the report in regard to water utilities across Australia, welcomed the federal government injection of $150 million to ensure safe drinking water for First Nation communities. And as I pointed out, very sad that our First Nation Aboriginal communities don't have safe drinking water, and we are in the 21st century, and Australia is a first world country. And they just neglected the fact, and I think the government has dropped the ball there regarding safe drinking water. I mean, go figure. There it is. Have your say. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. And good yarning with you, Mob, and Voice for Our People. Do utilise it. And that's our dead number, 1-800-422-416.
body oppressed to the other guys, the youth with patience. See them step with grace and move with ease. Shining lights on the smoking trees. Free your minds, moving energies from the land of acts to the west indies. Resilient, brilliant, standing strong. Giving all they're taking, and then time for warriors has come when you open up your eyes to see us facing.
Mob, it's me, Bush Taka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Art and About, that's the name of it. They call out for Queensland Indigenous artists to showcase talent on national stage. The Peak Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Arts and Cultural Organisation, UMI Arts, has issued a call out to members and Indigenous artists to participate and showcase works in this 2023 tour of Australia's three leading art fairs. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Robert Pacey, who's the UMI Arts Exhibition and Gallery Officer. Robin, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Really well, thanks. Good to be here.
Great for you to be on board. Thank you for coming to the program. So we're talking about a fantastic opportunity for our Indigenous artists showcase their work on a national stage at three different art shows. So give us the background on it and how do we get our First Nation people to come to the table?
Sure. So we're a membership organisation. We've got about 1,000 members all across Far North Queensland. So we represent people from South in Cardwell all the way up to the Torres Strait Islands, so all over a big range there. And we're looking for new members to represent your artwork, craftwork or products at all the different Indigenous art fairs that we're hitting this year. This year we're going to be hitting three of them. We've got the big one in Kayas here, of course, in Cairns with Cairns Indigenous Art Festival. And then we're going to head to Darwin as well for DAF in August. And we've got the National Indigenous Art Fair in Sydney in July. So it's a big calendar.
Good.
And we're looking for lots of new artwork and craft to fill.
Has Yumi Arts been a part of all three every year?
We have been. We've been to all three individually, but this is the first year that we're going to be hitting all of them. Mm-hmm. So in the past, we have tested different markets. Last year was the first year we hit Sydney. And that went really well, so we're doing that one again and, of course, joining that one onto Darwin, and we regularly do Kayas as well.
And, look, tell us the platform that it creates for our First Nation artists in this space.
Absolutely. Look, it's a great opportunity to showcase your work to a really wide audience. Because we hit here, Sydney and Darwin, those are all really different audiences from local to interstate and international. So a really good way to get your name and your work out there to a really big audience.
Mm-hmm.
And we do our best to up your profile. We talk about all our artists, talk about the different styles and concepts and where they're coming from. So we do a lot of work, yes, put your name and work across a really broad range, yeah.
And if an artist was to contact you guys, they would have to become a member first. What are the membership fees?
Exactly. We're a membership-based organisation, so you do have to be a member for us to represent you.
Mm-hmm.
But membership is absolutely free if you've got a bloodline connection to Far North Queensland. And we accept membership from you. It has to be 15 years or older. And we accept anyone in any stage of your arts practice. So whether you're very emerging, just starting out, or if you've got an established practice already, we're open to all and we're happy to support people of all different skills levels and places in their practice.
Sounds deadly. Now, the artists do travel with you guys, with their artwork, of course, and they have a booth and they showcase. Is that right?
We represent them, so okay. The idea is that you can send your artwork to us and we do the travelling for you.
Okay.
So usually myself and another Yumi representative comes with us.
Mm-hmm.
There have been times in the past where we have brought an artist with us to share some stories about their work.
Mm.
We probably will do that next year, we're thinking, once we really get a hang of running the fairs.
Cool. And so with that, at the exhibition, the art is up for sale, is it not?
Yes, correct. Everything is up for sale. Mm. So in our exhibitions as well as the fairs, everything goes up for sale and Yumi Arts runs on 30% commission.
Okay.
So the artist gets 60%, which is a really good rate in the art scene. So most of that all goes directly back to the artist. And that's at fairs, exhibitions, anywhere at all that you're selling your work.
Fantastic. So Yumi Arts doing a call out. So how do people contact Yumi Arts and how do they put their name in the hat?
Yeah, sure. So you can get in touch and you can find the membership form online. You can get in touch with us over the phone. We're always happy for a chat. You can get us on 07-4041-6152.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can find all the information, including applications for the fairs and membership forms online at www.yumiart.com.au. And, of course, we're on Facebook and Insta as well. You feel free to send us a message or just check out what we're doing on there.
Fantastic. Well, good luck with it all. I think it's a great opportunity. Thank you for the yarn there, Robin. Big shout out to the Yumi Arts team. Look, fantastic. 2023, make it your year, UMob. And we'll yarn soon, Robin. All the best to you.
Exactly. Cheers, Trev. Great to chat to you. And I hope we hear from some new artists soon.
Take care, Dad. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn. That's Robin Pacey and Yumi Arts Exhibition and Gallery Officer, and talking about a fantastic opportunity for our artists up here in Far North Queensland. Give Yumi Arts a call or go online, UMI, Yumi Arts, and look at an opportunity to put your artwork front and centre at a national program. You've got three national programs, National Indigenous Art Fair, NIAF, that is, KIAF, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, and also Darwin, that's DAF, Darwin Aboriginal Art Fair. So fantastic opportunity, and do get in touch with them. Robin Pacey is the lady's name there at Yumi Arts, and an opportunity for you to showcase your daily work. Have your saying, Yana Strong, added the conversation here, National Talk Black, and we are live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM on your Dindji country, and we go across the country thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Too deadly.
Can you replay it? hate this.
Let's talk about love. Let's talk about life. Talk about change. Talk about us. Talk about fights. Talk about things nobody does. Oh, let's talk about love. I need a late night conversations to our daylight complications. I need FaceTime, but it's not.
Shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill.
Deep washes in the shallows. They don't want to speak about the first battles. They can only see when they're looking down a barrel. I see the shadows, I hear the shots. I feel the spirit from the fight that never stopped. They want to talk about how far we got,
it never stops.
Where the bodies drop, they build up the parking lot. And they call that survival. Put us on a mission. Force fed us bubbles. They put statues on our land just to worship false idols. Cuffs on our hands just to keep us in a cycle. Blood on their heads, bodies at their feet. And there's a warning, they gon' hang them from the trees. Name for the banks, rivers and the streets. Now the shadows never leave. No justice, no peace.
I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill.
I'm the product of resistance, I embody who survived. I'm the strength of that spirit, I'm the voice of who will die. So who the fuck are you to civilize? No, we can't rely when you recall. I hear your words, I see your lies. And in the dead of night, you can hear those babies cry. You can feel those eyes from the banks where they lay beside. Feel it in your spine when you know you're not alone. Shine bright till the shadows make it home.
Granite stones
forever be alone. Their killers got all free, but their shadows never leave. I see shadows on the hill up beside the old song where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill. I see shadows on the hill up beside the old song where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
In the morning, yeah. Feel the free sunlight in the ocean. I will never leave this place.
Oh, no.
This place I call my own.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, CBM 98.7.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bummer Bib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. I was yarning earlier with Keely. She's a hip-hop artist, First Nation hip-hop artist, Keely Egmalese. Well, I got her back and going to have a yarn with her regarding her performance at the Nagana Burung Festival for 2023, and she performed yesterday at Campbelltown, and she's on the line now. Keely, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming, my sister. Thank you very much. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, I'm proud Gubby Gubby Green Green, Australian South Yarnville woman.
Fantastic. And where do you live at the moment?
I'm currently living on Coomera Country on the Gold Coast there.
So yes.
Beautiful country.
Fantastic. And performed at Campbelltown, New South Wales, last night at the Nagana Burung Festival. How'd that go?
Yeah, down in Darawal Country. It was beautiful. At the Campbelltown Arts Centre, it was a really lovely venue and awesome to be performing along a really stellar lineup of Indigenous hip-hop and R&B artists.
Deadly. Now, you're a hip-hop artist slash R&B. Is that your genre, yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good, fantastic.
But yeah, kind of falling into my jazz lane
jazz?
As well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good, sister. Solo artist you are?
Yes.
So how did it start for you? Were you singing at school or singing in the shower? And how you thought, like, I'm going to make a career out of this?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've been recording myself since I was about 2. My parents gave me a little cassette recorder and I'd be in my playroom recording up real deadly ways. But, yeah, I grew up with music, kind of went down a corporate career pathway for a bit, and then got pregnant with my son back in 2018, and that really catalyzed a lot of writing for me. So it snowballed from there.
Fantastic. Performing there yesterday at Campbelltown, a good crowd?
Yeah, it was an awesome crowd. It was sold out, you know, curry time, so everybody rolled up slowly as the evening progressed.
Yes.
But I think everyone made it out to see JK47. He was definitely a highlight.
Yeah,
for everyone.
So sharing stage with people like that is fantastic and gives you a good platform and also gives you a vision, go a mile, see a mile, vision for taking your work further into the future, yes?
Absolutely. I definitely look up to peers like JK and love to sit down and yarn and hear his perspectives about, you know, being a black person in music and in hip-hop R&B in Australia, especially because it seems like there's a real flourishing of talent at the moment. Yeah, so it's awesome to be a part of.
And also being a female as well, a black sister at that, you represent our sisters out there and gives them an opportunity to showcase, you know, and pave the way for them, you would think.
Definitely. I think in the hip-hop genre especially, we often, it's very male-dominated. So being a black woman and a mother as well, it's great to have representation.
Yes.
And I certainly appreciate when festivals and events like this like to diversify their lineup. And they were really accommodating too. They even said I could bring my son, which is always good to have spaces for mums and bubs.
Yeah, fantastic. So performing at the festival, Nagana Barung, other festivals that you performed at or you're looking to do, where do you want to take your work and what have you got planned for your future, my sister?
So this year I'm actually going back to study. I previously did a business degree, but now I'm actually studying music. I'll be commencing at JMC Academy in the Engine in Brisbane there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to doing that and finally getting some music theory behind me, and hopefully that will help me to refine my craft and to access some really respectable vocal coaches and mentors that will help me sort of excel and really hone and master my craft. So I'm excited about that. Hopefully putting out maybe another album this year, but definitely some singles.
Yes.
Got plenty of work in the works, so plenty of music in the works. So yeah.
Fantastic.
Watch this space.
Yeah, watch your space. There you go. Exactly. And it's about, like I said, go a mile, see a mile, performing. But when you're performing, you don't know who's in the crowd and who's listening. Doors can open up, can't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think as an independent artist, I rely heavily on word of mouth. So, you know, I just go and let the opportunities happen organically. And wherever I'm being called, I'm sort of really eager to show up with bells and whistles on. And, yeah.
Good. Fantastic.
Been working so far.
All right, too deadly. Now, we've got a track here, Long A Long. So give us a bit of background on that that track.
Yeah, so I wrote that back in 2020. And it was actually a freestyle. Some of it's in Bizlama. I wrote it kind of about the fictional story, love story, and it's kind of based on a little bit of my own personal experience.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a really fun track, and it was my first sort of opportunity to explore a bit of gaffing as well. So I really enjoyed creating this track.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations. Thank you for the yarn, my sister. I'm going to watch your career very closely. Keep doing what you're doing. And more power to you, my sister. And we'll yarn soon. Keely, you take care, sister.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, Trevor. And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there. That's yarning with Keely Egmalis. She goes by stage name, just Keely, and she's a First Nation hip-hop artist slash R&B, and she performed just at Campbelltown for the First Nation Hip-Hop Festival Nagana Barung, and it's happening for 2023, and also at Parramatta and Penrith. So do check it out, your mob, free entry, and go and see the Deadly Mob throw down. This is your daily program, National Talk Black.